Okay, yeah, that's how we do it. This is the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vedati out here in the Texas Hill Country. We've got Michael W. Dean out in the barren wastelands of Wyoming. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Hey, I resemble that remark.
You do indeed.
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And you know what time it is, Nima?
It's time to get ill.
No, it's time to find out what Obama's done to you today. You like my new jingle?
Yeah, I dig the jingle.
Let's hear it again.
All right.
A couple times. Let's loop it. Yeah, and that may sound weird because the cuss dump is still building, and I don't know, is Obama a cuss word? Aren't you supposed to beep that out?
In the future, yes, it'll be the unspeakable name. No, it'll never be unspeakable because you'll need to know. You'll need to keep it and preserve the Obama so that you can understand the true depravity of humanity, at least the potential for human
depravity. Yeah, it'll be kind of like Hitler, and I'm not comparing Obama to Hitler. I'm comparing how how future libertarian historians, when the world is a free place to live with actual liberty, will look back on people like Bush and Obama. You know, my wife and I made that little jingle last night. It's pretty cool. I dig it.
Yep. I dig it too.
Yeah.
And we're gonna try to make it sound a little bit cheesier. Right now it sounds like a bridge in a Brian Eno song. We're gonna
it's
try to
too
add
good.
Some stuff to it.
It's too good. I was going for like cheesy radio jingle and it sounds kind of like not great, but pretty good church choir trying really hard.
There you go. Yeah. Well, we'll spruce it up. I'm going to do two versions when I finish it. We'll do one where we try to make it cheesier, and we'll do one where we just I play with it and try to make it sound cool. And we'll see which jingle people like more. We'll let them vote on it. How's that?
There you go. Yeah, you're going to put some bump, 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 kind of ghost-busty keyboards and drums under it. Now, I played it while the cuss dump was building, and if you play music while the cuss dump's building, it sounds weird. So maybe people didn't really hear that. Let's hear it one more time before we go in and actually tell you what Obama's done to you and your Facebooks and your free speech and your First Amendment today. So here's what Obama's done to you today. Let's talk about Facebook and the truth that for some reason these days only comes from Russian news, because in Soviet America, true free press is in Russia. That's kind of weird. That's not the America I grew up in the 60s.
Yeah, well, things change. Quit being old.
Okay.
You stop it. In the future, I want you to be less old.
You youngsters and your Facebooks.
Yeah, I guess Obama didn't really do this, but why not? We can blame it. You know, when your ice cream cone falls apart, you can blame Obama. So when the police team up with Facebook to make planning protests harder or impossible and apparently have the ability to block what they deem as criminal content. Think about that. Those two words together, criminal and content. Now, how can content be criminal? Content is stuff you say or write. It's speech. Now, the First Amendment says you can't do that. You can't call speech criminal, can you?
Well, the First Amendment was criminal content when it came out because the founding fathers committed treason by having a revolution. They were British citizens. A lot of people don't realize that. The first wave of the founding fathers, the people that they put on the money – well, not everyone on the money, but – the people that people look back greatly as great men of an America of the mind, Jefferson and we have problems with all of them, man. Jefferson owned slaves. But anyway, those guys were all British citizens, and they committed treason that they could and would have been killed for if they'd been caught to have an American Revolution and to write things down on paper that, were suggestions for freedom, like the First Amendment.
Although I take the Lysander Spooner tact of there's no such thing as treason, man. Because if you didn't sign a government document that they say founded the government, then you have no – it has no authority over you. It's not a binding contract. Man, if people sign their credit card receipts, right? You go buy a hamburger. You sign an agreement saying you paid for that hamburger. That's a thing. How is it not a thing that you sign for the government that controls every aspect of your life? So I don't think they committed treason.
Yeah,
they
and if
commit
you
tyranny when they created a new government with a new constitution.
Yeah, and if I buy and we'll get into that later of how the constitution is an imperfect document. We'll talk about Lysander Spooner's great short book or long pamphlet, however you want to call it.
Not just imperfect. Spooner says it's nothing but waste paper that should be thrown in the trash.
Yes, and before you change the channel and say this sounds unpatriotic, the patriots out there should really read this, and they'd be like, man, this makes more sense than anything I'm hearing. Because basically everything that small government people say of, well, the tax, we can't be forced to pay Obama. It's like you shouldn't be able to be forced to do anything that you didn't sign up to do that doesn't harm anyone else. Mm-hmm. Basically, if there's no victim, there's no crime. And the world we are in now is increasing in the stomp towards socialism and communism and fascism all at the same time, right, where they decide that, you can't organize and have a protest and talk to your friends on Facebook about it and get them all in one place to express the First Amendment, because the police don't like it and they want to be able to delete posts and accounts on Facebook. And, you know, Obama may not have done this, but he hasn't stopped it. And it's in his power to stop it. So he did it.
There you go. Yeah. Well, we'll blame him. Why not? We're talking about a Russia Today headline. The headline, partnership between Facebook and police could make planning protests impossible. And they're talking about a police convention in Philadelphia where a high-ranking official from the Chicago Police Department – yeah, of course. So I guess that leads back to Obama too – told attendees that his agency has been working with a security chief at Facebook to block certain users from the site, quote, if it is determined they have posted what is deemed criminal content. And this is from an independent reporter named Kenneth Lip, who's been there the whole time.
Don't give me no lip.
Yeah. No, we want this kind of lip.
No, but that's what the government's going to say to this guy. Don't give me no lip.
Yep. This is all from the International Association of Chiefs of Police Conference.
Yeah.
So the gooniest of the goons getting together to figure out how best to goon you.
Yeah, and you know, Apple recently patented the technology to be able to shut off all of their chromed robot turds, the iPhone, the iPad, the eye needle that goes into your brain coming soon. They patented the ability to shut them off in an area, and what's the wording, with a specific event? Was it
such as upon the occurrence of a certain event?
Man, that's like
being a particular individual in jail, Idiocracy style.
Yeah, being a particular individual. Yeah, man. Ugh, that is so square. You know, and Apple paints itself as all of these companies paint themselves as like the of the people, friendly. I mean, you look at the ads for all of these devices on TV, and it's all like people who are hip looking, communicating all across the world and smiling and working on their How Great Obama Is blog from the tanning salon, you know?
Ugh. Yeah. Well, the panel section where this headline comes from was apparently titled Helping Law Enforcement Respond to Mass Gatherings Spurred by Social Media. So it seems to me like they're trying to prevent stuff like what happened originally
in San Francisco,
in Egypt. Well, remember
what happened? But here in America, I mean, probably a lot of our listeners don't consider San Francisco America, but I lived there. I survived. I don't believe in socialism, and I lived there 16 years, and now
you don't live there anymore.
Yeah, left and moved to Wyoming, and you know, not all California's bad. Not all of Californians bad. It's just. California is a great place to live, except for all the Californians. And I'm not saying everyone in California, like a lot of the people in the big cities have a real need to vote for people who will control everybody and outlaw things they don't like. And then when they vote for people that outlaw things they don't like it when they outlaw things they like, because you can't pick and choose with when you're choosing rulers. And an example is some police shot and murdered someone in the BART, in the public transportation train system.
That's happened a few times, hasn't it?
Yeah, but there was a protest. And people organized a protest, and the police, the San Francisco Police Department, had the phone company cut off phone service while it was happening.
Oh, yeah.
During the protest. So, but they had to go, I don't know if they got a warrant, but they went to the phone company and it took some doing. What the police are trying to do now is basically have it so the chief of police has a button on his iPhone or his Android phone where he can just turn off everything selectively. Yes.
For quashing dissent, there's an app for that. Yeah, I mean that's what Apple is telling these associations of police chiefs.
Tyranny, there's an app for that. Yeah, we made a meme that was war, there's an app for that. And it showed Obama looking at his BlackBerry, and then it showed the screen of the BlackBerry, and we'd added a little button that had a drone firing a missile on it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it makes complete sense because a lot of the protests, especially in the Middle East and the Arab Springs, you know, part of the narrative was, well, all these people, it's so much easier now for them to get together and organize and have something like a million people almost at Tahrir Square. I mean, I guess America doesn't have its own square, but if it did, people would be telling each other, hey, let's get to the square today. And they'd be organizing it through Facebook, and it could happen quickly, and they could respond quickly to new threats of tyranny. And the government obviously doesn't want that. Now, the CIA may try to promote stuff like that in regimes that they don't like, but obviously they like the regime in Washington, D.C.
Well, so the CIA makes cool stuff for people of nations other than the nation that makes the CIA. I mean, they made the Liberator pistols, those little $2 pistols that they were going to drop in Nazi Germany to the Jews and the – not just the Jews, but the people who were – being killed by the Nazis so they could use him to shoot a Nazi in the back of the head and take his rifle and his uniform and fight a counterinsurgency. CIA makes radio in a box. It's a thing where you can like drop a pallet in another country and all of a sudden they have a radio station to spread, you know, dissident material. But try to set up your own radio station in America and they'll kick in your door with goons with guns, man.
Right. Whenever they do those other things, they're trying to further the power of Washington, D.C.
Try to make your own inexpensive distributed people's gun like Cody Wilson did with the printable gun that he called the Liberator after that original Liberator, and see what happens. You get a letter from the government saying, we're going to throw you in basically Gitmo. Not really, but we'll be back with more tyranny and redemption on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market and the square. But it's not square.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Barstow. We like Barstow.
It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. How's everybody doing today? I hope you're doing well. I am Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean in the house. What's going on, Mr. Dean?
I'm in, I like Barstow. I'm in Wyoming. What are you doing? Stop it. Stop it, you unkempt youngster. What are you doing? You got a new toy, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I got a cheap guitar pedal at a junk shop. But it's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I was on the phone trying to talk you out of buying it yesterday. I was like, young man, save your pennies. You want to save for a rainy day.
Well, and, it was $5, and it was at a junk shop, and I was like, should I buy this $5 pedal? You're like, you can buy it brand new for $31.
Well, I was looking. I was being your ground support and looking it up. On the movies, the hero's out in the field, and they always have, like, the sassy punk rock chick or the nerdy computer guy typing furiously in the ear. I was being that for you, looking it up on eBay.
Right.
But, speaking of old people yelling at young people, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but, I'm a lot older than Nima. I'm 49 and he's 29. You 29?
Think so. Yeah. 29. Yeah.
That's not that young. When you can't remember how old you are without doing math,
then you're old now.
You're old now. Yeah. I'm but,
but. Well, I told you the other day I bought, gym shorts and Epsom salt at HEB. So yeah, I'm getting there.
Epsom salt. Get some Epsom salt. Yeah, but we were talking about – we discovered something yesterday, and it's I complain about your phone acumen or your phone habits, and you explained something to me that made me not mad at you about it. And I've heard people on talk show two host shows like ours complaining about young people and how they just text this stuff that you can't understand and they don't spell check and they don't use complete sentences and – they just call and don't ask if you're busy and just start talking. And they never pick up when they're busy. And, like, I've heard two old guys on radio complaining about it. But I've never – ooh, I hear the train. I've never heard an old guy and a young guy discussing it and explaining it. So explain why you don't pick up the phone when I call.
You always call and you say, can you chat?
Yeah.
And I feel like – well, obviously, if I couldn't chat, I would click ignore or click the button on my phone that makes the ringer stop.
And yesterday, you called me and you started just into this excited thing that you discovered about Lysander Spooner. And I waited for about a minute until you paused. And I said, I'm on the other line. Let me call you back later. And what it is basically is my generation came from a time when phone connectivity was far more scarce. It's basically, if you look at it with an economics model, not necessarily money, but the cost of it going down involves it to where, okay, when my dad was a kid, he didn't have a phone. He grew up on a farm and not everybody had a phone back then. When I was a kid, we had a party line, which meant our landline, and there was no phone outside the house. There were some pay phones, but you had to have change. If a phone was basically in your house, there wasn't call waiting. You had to wait for not only other members of your family to finish using it, but the neighbors, a couple neighbors to finish using it.
Right.
To use
so it's important if you got a chance to use the phone, you would expect the other person to realize you had gone through that effort. And so if they can't talk, to politely say, I can't talk right now. Please, we will talk again in an hour, or I will come call at your house.
Because it was
later on the eve.
I will come calling. Yes, because it was a scarce resource, like computing power. Like back then, if you wanted to use a computer, you had to learn Fortran and you had to go type something in, and then it would have punch cards and it would go off to other people who were like Moses, and you had to go through them to get to the god of the computer. They'd put your punch cards in, and then the next day they'd bring you a printout, and that's how computers worked back then. So it got cheaper. I remember when I was a kid in 1974, when I was 10, my sister went to Southwest Africa with Rotary International, and we got a Belgian lady as an exchange for a year, a Belgian teenager. And we called my sister once in the year she was in Africa, and my mother made me write down what I was going to talk about, and I got 2 minutes to talk to my sister, because it was you had to go through an operator. It sounded like you were underwater, and it cost $10 a minute to call another country back then.
Wow.
And so, you know, she was there once, and now it's like I can make an international call for free. You know, if you have Skype on your phone, you can make an international call for free. I can call anywhere in America or, you know, Puerto Rico and Guam or Canada for free on my inexpensive home landline. And you're like, landline? How old are you? Yes, I still have a landline, but it's basically gotten cheaper to the point where people use that kind of communication very chatty and casually. And people my age are kind of offended by that because we have this like reverence for the value of the time on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I think in my generation, it's implied that if you answer, you can talk. If you don't answer, it's because you can't talk. And you just call me back later. My phone's always going to be on me 24 hours a day. But we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yeah.
That's the Freedom Fiends. Live talk radio show. I am Nima Vadadi out here in the ATX. That's Austin, Texas, in case you didn't know. We've also got Michael W. Dean out in the Wyo. What it do, Mr. Dean?
I'm good. I'm chatting online with Mr. Scott Horton, of the Scott Horton Show, formerly of Anti-War Radio. Yeah. And this is just how cool I am, that I just sit around casually while doing a radio show and chat with my friend Scott Horton. And he just wrote me and said that he's having a problem that I'm having with Facebook. I wrote him and said, I post something on Facebook and there's like no likes or one like. And, you know, haters would probably say, well, that's because you're posting stuff no one likes. But it's not. It's suddenly gone really far down of like the number of people they're letting see it who've signed up to see my stuff. And, you know, it's their property. They can do what they want. But I think it's a combination of them trying to get money to promote posts and then censoring feisty speech. Here's what Scott Horton said. He said, yeah, they've been messing with me that way for a long time. 5,000 friends. I post today's show and get no likes at all. So I think they're censoring stuff that's critical of the government by not showing it to other people. It's kind of backdoor censorship.
Well, here's the other thing. Is I'm one of Scott's friends, and I like his posts all the time, and sometimes I share them, but I can't remember. Must have been a few months ago, and I didn't realize this until just now when we're talking about it, but I don't see any of his posts on my page anymore.
There you go.
I don't see them there to like. They never pop up in my feed.
I wonder if they're doing this with phone calls, too, but let's give out the number, and if no one calls in, we can say the government's censoring us. The call-in number for the Fiends
very good hedge.
Is 1-855-660-4261. That's 855-660-4261. And we were going to talk about Lysander Spooner. Who is this Lysander Spooner? Didn't he play
man.
For the Boston Bills?
No.
Okay.
No. He is he was an anti-war and also an abolitionist. So he hated slavery, but he thought the war of Northern aggression, as a lot of people call
the
it,
Civil
he probably
War.
Didn't.
You're talking about a guy that's been dead for 100 years. Let's start with that. You're not talking about someone who's your friend on Facebook.
No.
You're talking about a historical figure who lived in Boston, Massachusetts, practiced law without a license. Now, back then, you didn't need a law to practice license. You just had to know the law. And, you know, if you practiced law well, people would keep hiring you. If you didn't, They wouldn't. But, you know, of course, the first state to have a monopoly on that was Massachusetts. They are they're the cradle of liberty, but then they quickly became the cradle of banning
tyranny.
Things, of banning yeah. things. And, you know, there's good people in Massachusetts, and some of them are listening to us right now on the radio. We are on a station in Massachusetts. But, you know, there's been a lot of, they didn't like what he was doing. So they had laws against that kind of stuff. And he was a pamphleteer, which was basically like the talk radio host of the day. If you wanted to yeah. reach the masses with your ideas, you owned like they say, the press is only free if you own one or, you know, can use one. And, that was a scarce resource back then too. You know, you couldn't just publish stuff on the internet or go to a Xerox machine and do it at the library. You had to own a printing press, and it was expensive to rent one or rent yes. time on one.
So instead of radio shows like we have or blog posts like Lou Rockwell has, he had pamphlets and he would print them out and distribute them. And a long tradition of this. I mean, I won't say the founding fathers, but people like Patrick Henry, right? They were pamphleteers.
He was considered a founding father.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah. Well, didn't he fight in the Revolutionary yeah. War?
I don't remember, man. I'm not that old.
I think
old.
Anyone you've heard of who fought in the Revolutionary War is a founding father.
They count.
And even if they weren't politicians. And,
okay.
you know, my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather fought in the Revolutionary War on the American side.
He's a founding father, too.
So
then.
It's in my blood, man. Yelling at the government is in my blood. So if you think I'm being un-American, you goon cops out there, and you lovers of statism and lovers of banning things you don't like, you got to know. No, man, it's in my blood, and I am more American than you are. So there. So Lysander Spooner, who was more American than most people, and didn't like that the Constitution was something he didn't sign, because and he was bound by it. And he wasn't just a talker. He didn't just write pamphlets. He actually started a post office, a postal service that competed with the U.S. Postal Service, charged less money to deliver a letter, did a better job, and the U.S. government, with the Supreme Court, put him out of business and passed a law that you can't do a better job than the post office for less money.
Yep, yep. And being a guy who practiced law, he has a great legal mind. And in the pamphlet, No Treason, The Constitution of No Authority, he breaks down exactly why the Constitution has no authority. And since it has no legal authority, there can be no such thing as treason as outlined it. And I mean, the basic premise is, and he goes into great detail, and I do encourage everybody to read it or listen to it. I was listening to it while I was at work. Mises.org has an audiobook of it read by Matt Pritchard. And
you called me to interrupt me and tell me that you'd found the source of the aggression principle.
The aggression
and I
principle,
said,
yes.
Yeah, I've been looking for that desperately for months, but I'm on the other line. And you didn't say, can you talk?
Well, you
so.
Shouldn't have answered.
I know, but go on. Go on.
So, no, tell people what your search for the aggression principle was.
Well, libertarians, and we are libertarians, abide by something called the non-aggression principle, which basically means don't aggress on others. And generally included in that is also no fraud. It's no theft, no fraud. And it's not a pacifist thing. We carry guns, and if you step to us with a gun or a knife, we're going to shoot in self-defense. But we're not aggressive people, and we believe that non-aggression extends to everything. Like, when you vote for someone because you have a single issue thought, like, oh, I only like guns, and you vote for somebody who then spies on everybody, you're committing aggression. You know, a perfect example of the problem with single issue activism like that through the political system, I stopped my NRA membership when the NRA backed Harry Reid. They actually backed Harry Reid because he stole, we say stole, he took a bunch of tax money that wasn't his, that he didn't earn, and appropriated it right before an election to build a rifle range in Nevada. And wow. He is one of the worst skunk politicians in America, and the NRA backed him because he did something for gun owners with public money. And he recently said everybody wants yes. their taxes raised.
He said everybody is willing to pay more taxes. He said the only people who feel there shouldn't be more coming into the federal government from rich people are the Republicans in Congress. He says everybody else, including the rich people, are willing to pay more. They want to pay more. Now, this is exactly the thing. Right. Yeah.
Generally, they just do it to you anyway and say, too bad, 51% said we can steal from 49%. But they're going further now to where they're telling us what we think that is not what we think. They're saying everybody wants to pay. I'm not a Republican in Congress, but I don't want to pay more taxes.
Right. But this is the argument. One of the arguments that Spooner addresses in No Treason is he says, hey, you know what? First of all, I didn't sign the Constitution. Think about everything else that you consider legally binding. You have to have it signed, sealed, and delivered. The Constitution had neither or any of those things happen. But not only that, but it's a secret ballot when you vote. So you can't legally say, well, these people voted for this and they've asked to it. And because they've asked for it, they are bound by it because it's a secret ballot. So there are no principles. The government can't point to an individual and say, well, this person says I have the authority to do this. It's impossible because the ballot is completely secret. What contract could you say, well, such and such said I should do this.
Yeah.
Okay, prove who said. Well, oh, I can't.
I'll give you an example of a contract you didn't sign that they're saying you signed is Obamacare. Basically, they're saying you're going to buy health insurance. You know, if I went and sent a bunch of people bills for health insurance and gave them health insurance and said they owe me money, I'd be guilty of a crime. But elected officials can do it. So it's good governance and good guidance. Here's what the aggression principle is. We live by the non-aggression principle. Don't aggress on anyone. Don't do fraud. The aggression principle is a term I came up with for the opposite of that, which is what runs government. The aggression principle is summed up very clearly as every law and every tax is backed by the threat of a gun. If you don't pay your property tax, they'll send a man to your house with a clipboard. If you tell him get lost, he'll come back with his clipboard, but with some guys with guns. If you tell them to go away, they will kick in your door. If you resist, they'll put a gun to your head. If you resist more, they will kill you. And that's the contract behind every law and every tax. And if you ask any newly minted libertarian how law works, they'll tell you some variation on that. And it's like step A, step B, step C, step D, then you're dead. And it's such a common thing that it's almost like how statists say, well, without the government, who would build the roads? It's like in the collective consciousness of libertarians, the way the roads thing is in the collective consciousness of statists. It's so ingrained and everybody says it. And I started asking many episodes ago, who first said this? And we went on this grand search with our fans and listeners of writing in suggestions. And, you know, things all went back to, I mean, somebody said, well, it probably came from, you know, Chairman Mao said power comes at the barrel of a gun. And he was saying the aggression principle, like it was a good thing, but it did involve that. And people had examples from the 50s and 60s. But Nima nailed it because Lysander Spooner said it in 1870. In his pamphlet, No Treason, he says
somebody had brought up a sentence from the same pamphlet, but it was just one sentence.
Yeah.
There's actually a whole paragraph where Spooner goes.
And you're
going to
read it now. You're going to read it now very quickly because it's long.
Do we have time?
Yeah, we do. Go ahead. All right. For it.
So in the first place, they do not, like him, make themselves individually known. Wait, hold on. I'll start over. The proceedings of those robbers and murderers who call themselves, quote, the government are directly the opposite of the single highwaymen. In the first place, they do not, like him, make themselves individually known, or consequently take upon themselves personally the responsibility of their acts. On the contrary, they secretly, by secret ballot, designate some one of their number to commit the robbery on their behalf, while they keep themselves practically concealed. They say to the person thus designated, go to A, B, and say to him that, quote, the government has need of money to meet the expenses of protecting him and his property. If he presumes to say that he has never contracted with us to protect him and that he wants none of our protection, say to him that that is our business and not his, that we choose to protect him, whether he desires us to do so or not. not, and that we demand pay, too, for protecting him. If he dares to inquire who the individuals are who have thus taken upon themselves the title of, quote, the government, and who assume to protect him, and demand payment of him without his having ever made any contract with him, say to him that, too, is none of our business, or is our business, and not his. That we do not choose to make ourselves individually known to him. That we have secretly, by secret ballot, appointed you, our agent, to give him notice of our demands, and if he complies with them, to give him in our name a receipt that will protect him against any similar demand for the present year. If he refuses to comply, seize and sell enough of his property to pay not only our demands, but all your own expenses and trouble beside. And there's much, much more. We'll get to that after this trip to the market.
Yeah. To the free market that does not involve a gun to your head on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. It's good. It's so good. Free speech is good.
It's so good. It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean over across the intertubes from me. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Good. Make that noise you were making during the break that I thought was something else.
It's the crossfader's far away, but okay.
Yeah, go for it. Wickety, wickety, woo. Yeah, and what Nima's doing is he's practicing his DJ moves on his, what do you call that thing? I don't know what you kids call that thing.
It's a Newmark NS7, but we jokingly call it the DJ 9000.
Yeah. And I heard you doing that, and I thought you were using a hand-cranked mimeograph machine, which is something we had when we were a kid. Sometimes the good kids, the kids that the teachers liked, would get to go down and help the teachers do slave labor and crank out the propaganda sheets for the kids. And they smelled really good, and they were kind of blue-black on white instead of just black on white. And, you know, I thought you were being the pamphleteer there. I thought you were being like Lysander Spooner, although he used a printing press, not a hand crank mimeograph machine.
Speaking of Spooner, we should get back to it. So we were explaining his explanation of the aggression principle, which is the earliest we've found. And we were at the point when he's explaining that
the aggression principle, by the way, is a bad thing. And he's explaining it as a bad thing. We believe the good thing is the non-aggression principle, which is don't aggress on others and don't commit fraud. And so the aggression principle is my name for what drives government. And Lysander Spooner in 1870 had a really good example of it. And we stopped mid rant. So
we did. So previously on the Spooner. So previously what had happened was the government came to a guy and said, hey, give us this money. This is what you owe us for our protection services. And the guy's like, what? I didn't sign up for any protection services. And they're like, well, you kind of did. And it doesn't matter. That's our business. So you owe us this money. And then next what happens, if he refuses to comply, seize and sell enough of his property to pay not only our demands, but all your own expenses and trouble besides. If he resists the seizure of his property, call upon the bystanders to help you. Doubtless some of them will prove to be members of our band. If in defending his property, he should kill any of our band who are assisting you, capture him at all hazards, charge him in one of our courts with murder, convict him, and hang him. If he should call upon his neighbors or any others who, like him, may be disposed to resist our demands, and they should come out in large numbers to his assistance, cry out that they are all rebels and traitors, that our country is in danger. Call upon the commander of our hired murderers. Tell him to quell the rebellion and save the country, cost what it may. Tell him to kill all who resist, though they should be hundreds of thousands, and thus strike terror into all others similarly disposed. See that the work of murder is thoroughly done, that we may have no further trouble of this kind hereafter. When these traitors shall have thus been taught our strength and our determination, they will be good, loyal citizens for many years, and pay their taxes without a why or wherefore. It sounds like that's what Harry Reid wants, isn't it? That's what he's imagining in his head, is that they've done enough horrible tyranny to where we all want to pay taxes now, right?
Ha! You call that horrible tyranny? Keep trying. That's what I say. But they may take me up on that, man. They may take me and, arrest me for feisty speech and throw me in a cage and waterboard me with Ensure like they do in Gitmo. When you refuse to eat as a political protest, because that's about the only protest you have in a prison, is not eating. Yeah, man, they'll just kill you. That's basically what Spooner's saying. And it's true. There's examples every day. I saw one the other day of the cops were doing a DARE thing, which is that thing where they terrify kids about drugs and say if you're a good statist, you'll turn in your cancer-ridden mother because she's smoking a joint to deal with the chemo pain. And they were doing a DARE thing, and a cop accidentally shot a kid. Didn't kill him, but shot him.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's getting worse, because originally it was the DARE officer who shot himself in the foot. So this officer had bad gun safety, but was also pointing the gun towards somebody. Two strikes, man. But he'll never be out, right? I mean, I don't imagine this officer's going to get fired. Do you think he is?
No.
He might get some paid vacation.
Yeah.
Maybe that one's a little too embarrassing for them. Sometimes they'll cut one of their own to save their butts, but
yeah.
I guess that remains to be seen.
We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this break, where we're going to the market to buy some cool stuff in Barstow and Amarillo and Wyoming and Massachusetts and South Carolina and North Dakota and Colorado. And South Dakota and Mississippi.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
I dare ya.
Do you dare me, Michael? Do you double dog dare me?
A double dog
do you
dare you.
Triple fiend?
Do
you triple fiend dare me?
A raw dog dare you.
Oh, I don't like how that sounds.
Contacted by the central scrutinizer, the unnamed overlord that controls all media, contacted me during the break and said it was not a member of DARE and they did not shoot a kid, as I said in the last episode. So we have a retraction, but an explanation that doesn't make anyone sound much better. So go, Nima, go. Go with your bad self.
So it wasn't DARE. It was Red Ribbon Week in California at a California elementary school. Three California elementary school students were wounded in an allegedly accidental shooting with a police weapon at a safety demonstration, according to the LA Times. An officer's gun discharged. No one was hit by the errant bullet, according to the Associated Press, but it did unleash a chain of events that left three youngins with cuts and scrapes. Two kids treated at the hospital. One escorted home by the parents.
Now, they didn't explain the chain of events, and I don't want to laugh or make light of anything where kids got hurt, but something happened. I mean, I'm picturing like one of those mousetrap Rube Goldberg events where, like, did someone fire a gun and they fell back into someone else and the police dog tail got stepped on and he ran up and knocked something over and something fell on someone and they screamed. And what happened? What's the chain of events from firing a gun?
I would imagine. I mean, I'm really just was reading a stub from Huffington Post. I'll go to the original LA Times article and see if we can find it. Let's see.
The thing I was confusing it with, and there's so much tyranny in my Twitter feed that I can't even keep track of it. And I'm sure Harry Reid and the police commissions who want to outlaw Facebook and control it with their smartphones would like to really reduce the number of things I have to think about that are in my Twitter feed by reducing the number of people that can talk to me. So I don't have this problem, but I like this problem. It's a quality problem. I was mixing this up in my head with this other news item. Students hurt in accidental shooting. Oh, no, that's not it. There's another one. There's so much. It was the thing in Santa Rosa. You got that handy?
Is that the deputy shoot little boy carrying a replica assault rifle in Sonoma County?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
So the cops did shoot somebody who was not carrying a real weapon.
Yeah.
A kid. Yeah. So there's lots of tyranny. And I'm for gun control if it comes to the cops.
Yeah.
Or the government. You know, we won't even restrict it to the cops. Let's say the state. Every government everywhere. How about you get rid of your weapons of mass destruction? And all of your weapons, man. The state itself is a weapon of mass destruction. And I think it should be banned. If there's one thing that could be banned, and I think there is only one thing that it should be banned, it's aggression. And the only entity out there that can do it so much, so often, with so few repercussions is the state. And so let's ban that.
Yeah, so is that an adequate disclaimer for the central scrutinizer? Let me see. Let me look at the jet contrails that I can see out my window and see if they've changed. That's my answer. And I'm kidding, because I don't doubt that the government has sprayed things on people in the past. And it's a fact, and it's open, and you can do FOIA searches. But I don't assume that every jet trail I see in the sky is them spraying sterility drugs on me. Sometimes a jet trail is just a jet trail, to paraphrase Sigmund Freud.
Was that sometimes a cigar is just a cigar?
Yeah, and speaking of cigars, we want to talk about this Brooklyn artist that trained pigeons to smuggle cigars. I found that pretty interesting, didn't you?
Well, he trained the pigeon to fly to Cuba and back with a camera on.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he – I mean, theoretically, I guess the pigeon could carry a cigar.
It was a proof of concept. I mean, it's pretty impressive. And, you know, pigeons are an unlimited resource. They're not a scarce resource. I'm looking out my window and I can see about 40 pigeons. But we do feed birds, and pigeons are birds.
Well, Ken, it seems like it'd be easier to smuggle the cigar to Florida first or South Carolina or something like that and then drive it. I mean, I don't know. I always wondered how it could be so hard to get Cuban cigars, because if you cut the label that says Cuba off of the cigar, you know, the ring around the cigar, the paper label, how is anybody going to know? Can you test a cigar? Can you do a DNA check?
Can you
look at the fingerprints of the roller?
Actually not, because there is a loophole around this law, is that American companies make cigars with Cuban seeds, you know, strains of Cuban tobacco that were smuggled out a long time ago and grown in the South and manufactured the same way. And often what they do is they hire Cuban people to actually roll them. And that's how they call them Cuban cigars. You know, the Cuban cigar ban is a really good example of the failure of the state, because this is something that happened during Kennedy. Now, interestingly, Kennedy delayed the actual banning of Cuban cigars, the embargo, long enough for him to get a bunch of cases of Cuban cigars because he liked them. And that is fact. The fact that Americans still can't trade freely with Cubans is such a remnant of the Cold War. It's kind of like a vestigial organ. It's like the appendix, and it needs to be removed. And there are Americans who say, no, they're communists, we have to punish them. You're not punishing the people are just whatever the government tells them to be. And a lot of Cubans fled Cuba and came here because they hated communism. And Americans said, oh, boat people, go home. You know, it's like, make up your mind. You either hate communism and want to invite people in who don't want to be communist, or I don't know, man. There's so much hypocrisy in that kind of stuff. Yeah. I just don't get
there's,
it.
There's a quote that says the communist air in politics is sticking to the carcass of dead policies. And I kind of feel like this is a perfect example of it. It's a dead policy, man. I mean, who cares about Cuban cigars, man?
Yeah.
Who cares about embargoing Cuba anymore?
Who cares?
Nobody's ever going to stop. But the carcasses are just piling up. And I think that that's how, you know, a government doesn't have a lease on life forever. It eventually falls under the weight of its own BS, and maybe that BS is just all the carcasses of dead policies piling up. You know, eventually it just turns into such a big stink pile that people stay away.
Yeah, and this Red Ribbon Week, this thing that was where a kid got injured by a gun going off and a series of unnamed events. I want to know what the events were. That's the news.
Well, even the LA Times says they're still trying to figure that out, but It was a police organized event, so obviously they're circling the wagons. They're not talking. It looks like Tamron Olden, crime prevention supervisor for the Chino Police Department, told the LA Times that, quote, we're still sorting out the extent of the injuries and how it happened. Are you telling me that at that event you didn't have a bunch of cop cameras? I mean, it was at Chino Elementary School. You're telling me that an elementary school in the LA area isn't covered with cameras?
He's telling you we want to figure out how to spin this, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Red Ribbon Week itself is named in honor of a fallen policeman. It's named after – it's in honor of the – I don't know if I want to say in honor of, but it began after the kidnapping, torture, and murder of DEA agent Enrique Kiki Camarera in 1985. He'd been working undercover in Guadalajara, Mexico. And I don't ever want to make light of anyone dying and being tortured or being harmed in any way, but the war on drugs is what causes the murder and kidnapping of people, of agents and citizens and bystanders. Mm-hmm. If drugs, you know, basically these are people down there who are trying to stop people from being able to, it's kind of an extreme extrapolation on steroids of the Cuban cigar ban. You know, it's keeping people from buying and trading something that other people don't like. And you can make an argument for pot, and then people say, yeah, but we have to spend the money. We have to legalize pot. If we're going to legalize pot, we have to tax it and regulate it. And I'm like, why? Why do you have to tax and regulate it? It's not harmful. People can do what they want. And then I would also say a lot of times they want to tax it and regulate it like they have in Colorado and use that tax money to increase the war on other drugs like, you know, coke, heroin, and speed. And really, what's wrong with those things being freely? I don't do those things, and I think they're horrible. And I'm a recovering addict with 19 and a half years sober. And I've seen what drugs do. I've seen what they did to me. I've seen what they did to my friends. I've been to funerals of people who died of drug overdoses. But what is wrong with those things being legal for adults if they're going to make their own decision? Because, you know, I've known a lot of drug addicts who died of drugs, but I've known a lot more people whose lives have been ruined by the drug war.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and why should innocent people who've never done anything be inconvenienced or threatened? Because people who are innocent die in SWAT raids, in botched SWAT raids that are the result of the drug war. And that's the extreme, but also minor things like, why can't I go buy a decongestant that works? And I know that sounds it does pale in comparison to the horrible problems. But if you're trying to figure out how it affects you, you can't buy Sudafed anymore.
When you're sick, that's the only thing that matters. And Sudafed does help when you're sick, and it doesn't have a lot of side effects compared to, you know, narcotics. Why can't you buy a codeine when you're sick? Codeine really, you know, being sick makes you miserable, and everybody gets the common cold. And codeine, it's not a cure for the common cold, but it makes you feel a lot better. And some people would end up addicted to it. But you know what? Being addicted to an opiate, if it were medically available, is less harmful than being addicted to the state.
Right.
Explain why that's true, Nima.
Well, I love the comparison, and people bring this up a lot. But yeah, the state has its own addiction. It's addicted to its power over us. It's a sex addict because it has the libido dominandi. It gets off on controlling people, and so that's all it does all day long. And so much so that people in the government complain about threatened cuts to the growth of the government, not even actual cuts to the government spending, because they're so addicted to the power that comes with the unlimited cash that they extract from you and that they make up out of thin air. And they point to all these poor people that are going to get hurt from the cuts. But all the continuation of the state does is it's another hit for the heroin junkie. It's another bump for the cocaine addict. And it just accelerates or continues towards the eventual downfall, right? I mean, what do people in AA and NA say? They say, if I didn't find the program, if I didn't start working the steps, I'd be dead by now. And the state needs to learn to take a step back and start working some steps, because if it doesn't, the whole society is going to collapse.
It can't work steps totally effectively without coming to any conclusion that it should dissolve, because there's no small state that will not turn into a big state. I mean, everything that we have now was authorized by the Constitution, pretty much. I mean, basically that general welfare clause says they can do what they want. We'll be back with more on how government is like a heroin addict when we get back from the market, from the free market on the Freedom Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. We're back on the Freedom Fiends.
Ah, yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean across in the YO. What's it doing, man?
I'm broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I'm just pointing out the cinnamon-flavored tyranny. We're trying to come up with a good term for what Harry Reid and people like that do. They basically say everything's horrible, but they're going to do things that are horrible, but they say it's for the children. And government is like a drug addict. And, you know, the thing about drug addicts is they can be homeless, literally sitting in a gutter, sticking a dirty needle they found on the ground in their arm. And if it's got drugs in it, they're having a good day for a minute. And they're in so much denial that things are bad that they're like, yeah, my life's pretty good. I could see some, you know, things could be better, but it's pretty good. And that's how the government is, man. They want to just do this unsustainable thing over and over and over. They say that the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. And people say that in AA and NA meetings. And it's true. Addiction is doing the same things over and expecting different results. Or trying to, like, use a different drug or only use on weekends or get out of the city and go to the country or vice versa or not hang out with that girl or that guy or not go to that club. And an addict, until they get clean and get recovery, will always go back to drugs. And the government, no matter how they tweak this or that, will always be an addict. You know, I said this thing about drugs a long time ago, that drugs borrow happiness and energy from tomorrow and use it up today. And eventually, when you get off it, you have to pay it back and you're miserable for a while. And a lot of people don't want to trim anything from the government or even talk about letting people do things privately, like start your own post office, because they say things would get bad for a while. You know, there'd be unrest. People would be worried. And when you kick drugs, you go through withdrawal. And you have to do that before you can get healthy. And this unsustainable model of shooting up other people's money over and over and over, and then saying they need more, like Harry Reid saying everyone's happy to pay more taxes. This is classic junkie denial behavior. Go, Nima.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that's part of the structural flaw of having a state or a government, either or.
Yeah.
Because the problems, the negative effects, aren't going to ever be felt by Harry Reid. They're never going to be felt by Barack Obama. They haven't been felt by George W. Bush or even Richard Nixon. I mean, he's still got his pension, right? He still had Secret Service protection.
Nixon's
didn't he?
Dead, man. You young
but he
people
did
don't
until
know.
He died.
Yeah,
I know he's dead, but he
well,
did.
Well, he mean, had his pension, but actually, Obama, I think, or Bush, one of them passed a bill, you know, like passed a demand, passed a I will sign this and my will be done, so let it be written, so let it be done, Moses kind of signing statement that that presidents now have Secret Service 24/7 for life.
Ah, okay.
It wasn't
so that
like that
later.
Before. Right. I mean, it was like, you had your pension, But you had the Secret Service for a couple years after being president, and maybe if you went to do a fundraiser for an upcoming tyrant, they'd send some Secret Service, but they didn't do it for life. Now they do it for life. Ah. And basically, okay, the more protection tyrants try to put around them with that and with police demanding, you know, these tanks with wheels and all this stuff, basically the more tyrants act tyrannical, that is pointing out the fact that tyrants, right, like, they're becoming more tyrannical and more people are noticing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my wife was having the conversation with me that how do they not realize it now with Obamacare? To her, that was the most blatant example of the fact that the government's not here to actually help you. And even when they try or say they're trying, they actually can't do anything good. Just look at the website. People can't even get on it to find out how much they're supposed to pay. And she's like, it's a website. Can't they figure it out? They can't even do that. It's such a basic thing. And Amazon doesn't have any problems doing it. And Amazon doesn't have unlimited infinite resources that they can extract at the point of a gun.
In 5 years, people are going to look back and realize that the best part of Obamacare was the website.
Right.
You know, exactly. When you get an error message on that, the same picture pops up and it's some young woman, probably about 20, smiling, looking like, yes, the government is great. Yes. And it's like,
and it says like, welcome to the marketplace or something.
Yeah. Like keep trying back. And that girl has kind of become an anti-hero. They call her like the glitch girl and people are trying to find out who she is. She's probably, you know, some model that posed for a company that does, royalty free images where people, right, can buy a CD of images and use them for their websites. And that poor girl, she has become the, yeah, face of failure. I feel sorry for her without knowing it, you know?
But yeah, man, that's the thing. Government, the responsibility isn't there. It's so diffuse that it's not like the junkie, because the people in power aren't going to have to answer for their sins, at least not in the near future. We'll talk more about that
when we get back about what, yep, to do with the jackbooted thugs after America collapses.
Right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
You know what this song's called, Nima Vidati, on the Freedom Fiends?
Nah. Why?
It's called We Are the Good Guys.
Yeah.
It's by my band Right Arm of Wyoming, and the lyrics are from the point of view of someone who's getting wrongly swatted and murdered. And it's basically what goes through his head as the bullet goes through his head, as the state is murdering him. Mm. Yeah.
That's powerful, man.
Yeah.
But that's true. I mean, think about all the people who get squashed unjustly. It's not like there's some, yeah, it's not like there's some righteous story being told where they know, oh, well, I had this coming. Oftentimes they feel they're the wronged party, and oftentimes I would say people are right. You know, the people thrown in cages and abused in horrible ways for victimless crimes. Do you think they deserve being in there? I mean, how do you think they mull that over in their head, you know?
And I wonder, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately, and we're the first people I heard bring this up. Like 2 years ago, we had an episode called Nuremberg Trials for Drug Warriors. And it was basically a tongue-in-cheek talk about, you know, after the state collapses, which it's going to, what is going to happen with all these people who stole government money and had these great pensions basically to go around shooting people and roughing people up and knocking them to the ground. And we were kind of speaking in a modest proposal kind of way. We don't want to see anything bad happen to anybody. We'd be happy if they just stopped doing it and went and hung out with their family or played golf or something. But it's become a meme lately. There's been a lot of talk about it in America and in Europe. Like, we talked to that Russian rock band recently, and we said, what do you think of Obama? What do young people think of Obama? And they were like, he said when he was first elected, there was a lot of hope. People thought he was going to be the new JFK and change things and be outgoing and positive and wonderful. And, you know, now that he's spying on everybody and worldwide and wanting to bomb Syria, you know, they just think he's like Bush, but worse. And they're wondering when America is going to start having Nuremberg trials. Nuremberg trials were the trials that a world court had for Nazi collaborators after World War II. And basically they, you know, sent a bunch of people to prison for life for working for the Nazi party. Now, I have some other thoughts on this that are kinder and gentler. But, you know, I wouldn't worry about what – those people shouldn't be worried about what the libertarians are going to do and what the people screaming on talk radio about how bad the government's going to do, especially those of us who believe in the non-aggression principle. It's like, we don't want you to be hurt. We don't want you in prison. Just go away. Just go do something peaceful for a living, you know? That's our that's our hope. But there's a lot of people
I worry that they don't know how. And they won't.
Well, that's why I'm thinking of this modest proposal that parallels what they did with the violent attack dogs that were trained for the Berlin Wall. That, you know, between the Berlin – there was the Berlin Wall and then there was a big fence and there were guard posts and there were minefields. And there was a place in between where there were no mines but there was barbed wire fence on each side where they had hundreds of German shepherds trained to rip to shreds anyone who comes near them. After the fall of the Berlin Wall, the German government wanted to put those dogs down, wanted to kill them. And some animal rights group said, no, we'll take them and we'll care for them and put them in cages and feed them well and throw them a, you know, stuffed animal from time to time to rip apart and let them have a decent life until they die of old age. And they did. And I think that's what you could do with the goons. You know, you could have private organizations that are willing to take them and put them somewhere and just, you know, give them conjugal visits, let their family come in and visit them. But there's a song that kind of outlines this by Pink Floyd called the Fletcher Memorial Home. I sent you the lyrics. Why don't you read some of these lyrics?
Right. Take all your overgrown infants away somewhere and build them a home, a little place of their own, the Fletcher Memorial, home for incurable tyrants and kings. And they can appear to themselves every day on closed circuit TV to make sure they're still real. It's the only connection they feel. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Reagan and Haig, Mr. Benin and friend Mrs.
Bagan.
Thatcher.
Bagan. Mr. Bagan, Bagan and Haig and friend Mr. Thatcher. And Miss Thatcher and Paisley, Mr. Brezhnev and party, the ghost of McCarthy, the memories of Nixon. Did they expect us to treat them with any respect? They can polish their medals and sharpen their smiles and amuse themselves playing games for a while. Boom, boom, bang, bang, lie down, you're dead. Safe in the permanent gaze of a cold glass eye with their favorite toys, they'll be good little boys in the Fletcher Memorial Home for colonial wasters of life and limb.
Is everyone in? Are you having a nice time?
Yeah. Okay.
The last part, do you?
Yeah, we don't need that. Anyway, so that's my proposal is – you know, don't drone these people. Don't put them in a terrible prison. Give them a nice little home like they did for the German attack dogs and just let them live there on closed circuit TV, still pretending they're in power and abusing people. They can play war games. They can play World of Warcraft? I don't even know. What would they play?
Well, I guess it'd be World of Warcraft for the higher-ups, but I think the Goon Goons would probably prefer Battlefield 3 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Drug Warriors. And all the other warriors. Right. There's so many warriors now. You know, we were wondering there's this thing we found out about how some government goon agents carry this big plastic box with them in their goon car, and they have to bring it in when they go on Thanksgiving vacation with their relatives. They can't leave it in the car, even though they leave weapons in the car, and they don't know what's in it, and it's got a satellite uplink that will open it when the time comes. And we're wondering what's in it. We finally decided – you said it was empty or it was a naked picture of Steve Martin. I've decided I think it's the state. It is the collective hallucination in people's minds that keeps everything going. And they have to carry it and safeguard the state.
So what happens when it opens then? That means it's gone? They open it up and it flies away into the ether and it's no more. Or maybe we can all live peacefully.
Maybe. Or maybe it's full of like 100 Glocks in boxes of ammo. Because, you know, the government has been stockpiling 40 cal ammo at an unbelievable rate. Maybe they just have Glocks and they're just going to hand them out to all the poor people when the welfare checks stop coming. Like here. What did we call it? Instead of the Liberator, instead of the Liberator the pistol, it's the redistributor pistol. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible, but funny.
Yep. You know, we were talking about the Nazis and all of their bizarre religious esoteric beliefs. What we didn't mention last week is that they actually were looking for the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's the Nazis are trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. They actually had teams of or archaeologists out looking for the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail because they believed it would give them magical powers to rule the world.
Wow. That's insane. Man. What is the Ark of the Covenant? I always hear it, and I always hear about people searching for it. But it's not like a boat. I thought an ark was a boat. Why is it called the Ark?
It's a box, I believe.
A box.
It's okay. Described
so
in the book of
Exodus. So any enclosed space can be called an ark, apparently?
Yeah. It's the box that contained the tablets that the Ten Commandments were written on. That's so weird that the Nazis, who like violated all Ten Commandments as their their job description, thought they'd have magical powers from, you know, some box that the commandments came in.
Yeah. Well, see, it comes from not universalizing their principles. They put caveats and categories. They didn't think of people who weren't them as getting to have morals and principles applied to them. So they didn't think they were actually killing anybody when they killed the lessers, as they would have called them. You know, they only thought that it applied to themselves.
You know, people get mad when you compare anything politically now to the Nazis, but sometimes it fits. And if you really want to see the end result of absolute patriotism, absolute great man theory, one man can save us, one president can save us. And if you really want to see the end result of unlimited, like my country right or wrong, the end game of that is Nazism or North Korea. And the Nazis weren't able to do it for very long. They killed a lot of people and they were horrible, but they didn't wreck the economy totally for the common man the way that North Korea has been able to by doing it for longer. In North Korea, everyone's starving, and then they put out Photoshop pictures where they like cut and paste rows of food to make it look like there's more to the to their citizens and to the world. Like, you're not starving. Look at this picture of this restaurant. It's full of food.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know,
the imaginary.
And Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi get up and say, Obamacare is good. I mean, yeah, just log on to the website and sign up. You know, the interesting thing is for the small amount of people who can actually log on and sign up, they haven't signed up for health insurance. They've signed up for the right to shop for health insurance on
at some future point.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing I heard the other day was that only 10% of the people who've tried diligently to get on could actually sign up to be in the exchange to shop for health insurance. 10% of the people can get on. 12% of Americans believe that Obamacare has been repealed.
Wow. It's repealed by its own failure.
Well,
we
said, the only thing that, you know, what really brought down the Berlin Wall was a couple soldiers standing down. I mean, it didn't actually come down, like legally become one Germany until 6 months or a year later, till the politicians got around to scribbling things on paper. It came down when a couple soldiers didn't shoot people who walked through the gate.
Yeah, they were like, huh, why not? Go on through. This thing's ridiculous on its face. I can't live the lie anymore. I think it's a really great parallel for the photoshopped fake food that the North Korean government is telling you that you have to eat when you go home and realize there's nothing on your table. Same thing as Obamacare. And they're telling you there's going to be this great, quote, marketplace. It's not going to be a marketplace. You're not going to get cared for. There's going to be no good that comes of it. And they're going to keep telling you how great it was. Or in 1984, you know, there's the government propaganda office, the Ministry of Truth, always telling you that chocolate rations have gone up. How great. Shoelace rations have gone up. How great. While Winston is realizing that he hasn't had chocolate in months. He can't find shoelaces to save his life. But those truths don't actually matter. The only thing that is considered truth is what the officials are saying. But people, I think they catch on to that, hopefully sooner rather than later, and hopefully more so as the lies get bigger and bigger and more obvious.
Yeah, and they're getting more 1984-ish, more Orwellian in their naming of things, like bills, like, you know, the Protect Free Speech Act is the act that's going to take it away. And, like, the term Department of Homeland Security, that sounds like something Hitler would have. It really does.
Yeah.
It sounds...
yeah. The Homeland.
Yeah. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends if we don't get droned.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. That's who we are, and that's what we do.
Yes, we fiend for freedom. Thank you so much for sticking with us. We're at the bottom of hour two. We appreciate everything. You know what that means? It means it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak in Review.
You know, we're calling this episode What to Do with the Jackbooted Thugs After America Collapses, and I decided to use a picture of Obama playing golf. There's a lot of pictures of Obama playing golf. He should just play
golf.
And
why do you think that is?
He should just – well, I think his – the people who like him are like, see, he's a regular guy. And the people who don't like him are like, see, he doesn't work. And I think he should just play golf all the time every day and throw his BlackBerry, you know, his chromed robot turret in the sand trap and never do any presidenting. He'd be my favorite president if that's what he did. It was never did any presidenting.
Maybe that's part of the solution. Is right. England still has a monarchy, but all the monarchs do is wear fancy clothes and go out and get pictures taken of
ribbons,
them all day.
Cut ribbons and go on boats.
We could still have a vestigial government. We can have a president and congressman, and they can go out and ride in limos and have motorcades and get pictures taken of themselves with Tiger Woods.
I like it.
Everybody will be happy.
I like it. That's what we should do. We should do that now. Why wait for America to collapse? Just have some president scribble some stuff on paper called the Leisure of Tyranny Act, and he just gets to be protected by goon guards 24/7 while he goes on vacation on our dime. I'd like that better than killing people and trying to kill me on my dime.
How about that? Well, that's what Spooner says about the state, too, is anytime you give the government, you're giving them a sword to use against you so they can get more money out of you.
Isn't there a saying, too, that someone said something about, like, politicians with money are like teenagers with a barrel of wine?
Mm, yeah, I could see that, too. But
who said
we'll get
that?
To this week in review.
I have no idea.
I haven't heard it, but it makes sense. But, okay, so we started with the cops teaming up more actively with Facebook. I mean, obviously, they monitor it all the time anyway. But it could go further than that. Recently, International Police Chiefs Association meeting in Philadelphia, a guy gave a presentation where he was saying that they're actively working with Facebook security teams, hopefully trying to hammer out a deal, well, hopefully for them at least, to where they'll be able to remove posts with criminal content and prevent organizing of dissentful type of protests. All sorts of horrible things could be coming down the pipeline of the state working with Facebook to goon you further. That's awful, man. That's awful. Harry Reid is also awful because the goons get their money from taxes and printing money. But Harry Reid says, hey, people want to pay taxes. They want the government to have more money coming in. They want the feds to be able to do whatever they want.
Which is
I think
is,
Harry Harry Reid's a liar.
That's beyond what they usually do. They usually say, well, we're going to take your money for the common good. And, you know, you, if you can, if you want to complain, write us a letter and we'll throw it away. Now they're not saying that. They're telling us we believe something we don't. They're saying, no, you like
they're saying, you like that, don't you? Yeah, you like that. No, I don't like that. Go away. All right. But yeah, Lysander Spooner, man, he came up with the original aggression principle. At least that's what we're calling it right now. We're calling Lysander Spooner as the originator. He went through a thing of, yeah, man, the government's going to come to you. They're going to say, hey, you owe us this much money for us protecting you. And if you say, what? I don't want you protecting me. They're going to say, hey, that's our business. We chose to protect you. Now you owe us the money. And if you resist, the government will call upon its other government goons and try to come get you. And if you kill one of them, will kill you or take you to court.
No, not even if you kill one of them. If that's – he extrapolates to that. But even before that, if you resist, they will kill you.
Right.
Yeah.
But he takes it further than the usual one. Usually, the modern libertarian aggression principle ends with the individual in a cage or the individual being killed. In Spooner's version, the person actually tries to get help. If the person tries to get help from his neighbors, the government will call it a rebellion and bring in, I guess, the military to come and quash it, the commander of the goons to come and quash it.
People were feistier back then in what they could say. I mean, if you quote the founding fathers on Facebook now in certain contexts, they'll take you away and put you in a mental hospital.
Yeah, it's happened. The guy got out though.
Yeah,
so that's good. But we'll have more Freedom Fiends for you tomorrow, more fiendy goodness on our Sunday show, so be sure to join us then. Same fiend time, same fiend stations.
Even more fiend stations on Sunday. We have the after church crowd, and it's a good thing. We like it on the Freedom Fiends.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
All right.
Hi, my name is
Scott. Thanks, Dan. Teach,
teacher and rowing coach.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Are you going to be on tomorrow?
No.
All right. Talk to you
That'll
soon.
Be your normal board up tomorrow.
Take care, man.
See ya.
Bye.